This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, remember this day, not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted. Remember the fruits we have bought thanks to this suffering. Our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, and the greatness of heart which has grown out of all this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. A difficult, tough prayer for us this morning, but its impact is revealed to us in where the source of it is. That prayer was found next to the body of a dead child in a German concentration camp during World War II. Forgiveness. I promised you part two this week. And if you missed part one last week, you can watch it. It's still online. But the two are actually backwards. Because last week we talked about reconciliation, and this week we really talk about what precedes reconciliation, which is forgiveness. Forgiveness is always necessary. Reconciliation is not always possible. We need to remember that. So let me take you back into my personal history here at this church to perhaps illustrate how those two can and cannot work out. We were ready for our first ever mission trip from this church. We were going to go to Our Little Roses in Honduras. We were leaving early Monday morning. I had to come back to the church Sunday afternoon to prepare some things at the last minute to pack, and as I rode up, I saw a pickup truck over on this side of the church, and there was nothing going on at church. And when I pulled up behind the truck, I saw that there was this gentleman who had a speaker from our portable sound system in his hands, and he was loading it onto his truck. And as I looked on the truck, he had the rest of the speaker system already on his truck, along with all sorts of other things that were from homes in the neighborhood. He was a thief. And as I discovered later, he told the Haitian priest who were here that afternoon that he was the cleaning crew and they should leave the doors open for him. And the Haitian priest, not knowing any better, of course, let him in, and he was going shopping. You don't think quickly in those situations, but he didn't look like the type of a person that was going to pull out a gun and shoot me. So I called 911. I jumped into the back of the cab of the pickup truck, thinking he will never leave with a priest in the back of the pickup truck. And thinking with me on the phone with 911 telling them that he's coming up to me in the cab pretty quick. They didn't. And so we had this tussle, and I ended up being, he's a big guy, he threw me out of the back of the pickup truck onto the grassy area over there, and after which he took our speaker system and was throwing it out of the back of his pickup truck onto the grass on this side of the driveway. The police came later. He was here long enough that I got his license plate number, and they eventually caught him in Louisiana. You all know about the history with my back, and I ended up going back to square one with trips 2 times a week to the chiropractor, pain medication, and everything like that. There was an important thing for me to come to a point of forgiving that man. But reconciliation was another thing. So he got 12 years in prison for all that he had done. They were processing him as a hate crime because I was wearing my collar when this happened. And 5 years later, I got a letter in the mail addressed to me. And the content of the letter from this man from prison said, "Reverend, I don't know who you are, but I need you to write a letter so they'll let me go from prison because I never did anything at your church." He had my name to write to me, yet he never met me. We couldn't be reconciled because he never admitted the wrong he had done. So there was forgiveness, but no reconciliation. Maybe someday, maybe in heaven, who knows? Maybe he'll show up here one Sunday and he will have struck it rich in the lottery and want to give St. Joseph's all sorts of gifts to say, "I'm sorry." Who knows? But forgiveness, but no reconciliation. Why is forgiveness so important? Well, we can look throughout history and we can see all of these people who teach us how important it is. You know who invented forgiveness? God. When you think about how the Bible and salvation history works, God gave us everything, everything. And life was perfect in the garden, and we rejected God. Now, God could have said, "To hell with all of you," at that point, but God didn't, did God? God came up with plan B. And plan B was, "I'm going to give them another chance." And we rejected God again, and God came up with a plan C. And God tried again. And over again, until here comes Jesus. And of course, we end up killing him. But what does Jesus say as some of those final words on the cross? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." So we get this example that forgiveness must be pretty important if it is a way of life for even God. So we have to look at this and appropriate for ourselves, how might God be calling me to have this more in my life? We pray the Lord's Prayer every Eucharist, sometimes just in our own personal prayer. And it's so elemental that it's linked together with, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Those two are in the same sentence. We think about, yeah, we need food. Well, do we ever think we need forgiveness just as much? This does not excuse bad behavior, evil things. But the important thing is to understand what forgiveness does and what forgiveness is about. There was this group of missionaries who went to this country in Africa. I can't remember which one. And they were trying to translate the Bible for these folks in their native language. But they had no word in their language for forgiveness. And so they had to figure something out. And the word they came up with to express it was the equivalent of English, "Get your head out." What does that mean? For them, if you were a slave, or if you were a prisoner and you were set free, your head would be in one of those vices like this, attached to a chain. And when you would be freed, you would literally be able to get your head out. You would be freed, able to breathe and get on with your life. And that is one of the most important realizations for us about forgiveness. It's not so much about the other person. It's about us. It's about the ability for us to let it go so that we can get on with our lives. If you've ever had the experience of horrible things happening, evil things happening to you by things done or left undone, the worst thing that we can do is to not forgive, because that person continues to have power over me, because even long after the event, I haven't been able to get on with my life. It is a process, but it's an important one, that we need to understand that God wants us to get on with our lives, not ever to excuse the behavior, to pray and to work for reconciliation if it's possible, but for me to be able to get on with my life. Look at the examples we get. Some years ago, I shared some videos from victims from 9/11 and the process of forgiveness they had to go through. It doesn't diminish the pain and the suffering, but the worst thing would be not to get on with life. Look at Nelson Mandela. All of those years he suffered, it wasn't right, it wasn't fair, but he's able to forgive because he and his people need to get on with life. Remember John Paul II? I was there when he was shot. I was living in Rome. How could you possibly forgive somebody who shot the Pope? Do you know the first place the Pope went after he got out of the hospital? He went to the prison to offer forgiveness to the guy that shot him. Now, that was an amazing story. And of course, the press are there with the Vatican representatives, and they're saying, how on earth could the Pope forgive this guy that shot him? And the wise Vatican representative said, hey, this is the business the Pope is in. It's the business that God is in. So it becomes an important one for us. I heard the story of these two prisoners of war from World War II who had been in a concentration camp, and these two Jewish men, after they were released at the end of the war, went their separate ways, and by chance they came back together 20 years later. And they're sharing their stories. And the first guy says, well, they took my wife, they took my kids, they took my mom, they took my dad. I lost everything, and I have never gotten over that. How about you? And the other guy says, well, I decided it was time that I needed to move on. And it wasn't right what they did. And we got to do all we can to make sure it never happens again. But if I don't forgive, then they really won the war. This is a tough thing, but it's an important thing for us to get our heads out, to be able to move on. In this gospel passage today, Jesus gives us another reason why we should forgive. And as usual, when Jesus tells a parable, they use these grandiose, overstated examples to make a point. And the amount of money that guy owed, if we'd put it into modern terms, it would be like $1 bazillion, okay? It's as much money as you can imagine. That's how much he owed. There's no way he was ever going to pay that debt. And so the one who was owed the money, representing how God is with us, lets him go. And then that guy turns around and somebody owes him $20 and has the guy thrown in prison. It starts with this realization, however your terminology is for it, that how God has bridged the gap from infinite in heaven to our finite, limited nature here, and has given us the ability to be with God. You can call that grace. You can call that mercy. You can call it forgiveness. It is this growing in the understanding of what God has done for us and the call that we are to do that for one another. There is this incredible cathedral in England. Perhaps some of you have been able to go there somewhere along the line. It's a place called Coventry. And Coventry Cathedral was completely destroyed through bombs in World War II. There's just a few vestiges of walls that are left. They took some of the wood beams and they made them into a cross. And they put it there, and it's there to this day, and I think it said, God forgive. But what they decided to do out of that, they started a ministry that exists to this day of forgiveness and reconciliation. They built a new cathedral right next to it. They left the ruins still there to this day as a reminder. And that ministry of reconciliation has continued to be a very, very strong one. To give you a personal example, one of my Doctor of Ministry courses, we were being exposed to innovative ways of doing ministry, so they took us to Coventry Cathedral for a service. And we thought, well, this is just a normal contemporary service. What's the big deal? The people who greeted us were very nice. The musicians were great. The service was great. And then our professor revealed to us at the end, all these people who are the ushers, the greeters, the servers, the musicians, the singers, these are all prisoners from the local prison. This is part of their process of forgiveness and reconciliation. There is a prayer that they pray at Coventry Cathedral as part of their ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation that they pray almost daily. I would like to end with it today, so perhaps it can be our prayer as well. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class, Father, forgive. The covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own, Father, forgive. The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth, Father, forgive. Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others, Father, forgive. Our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee, Father, forgive. The lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children, Father, forgive. The pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God, Father, forgive. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Amen.